With the state just 2 months away from finishing regulations for Alaska's commercial marijuana sales, the Department of Law filed a raft of felony charges against three businesses last Friday. Whether the three operators broke the law by selling marijuana over the last few months will be decided in court. But as KSKA's Zachariah Hughes reports, both sides say publicity is playing a role in the cases.
16 felonies and 6 more misdemeanors were filed against 3 businesses, Anchorage-based Alaska Cannabis Club and Absolutely Chronic Deliveries Company, as well as Discreet Deliveries, which has multiple locations from Fairbanks down to the Kenai Peninsula. According to charging documents, since the start of the year, undercover agents have bought marijuana from each business on multiple occasions. Each felony is for a sale of more than an ounce. John Skidmore heads the Department of Law's criminal division and says even as regulations are still being written, the state's rules on sales have been clear.
It's not yet legal to sell marijuana in the state of Alaska. The initiative has paved the way for the regulatory process to be put in place for that, but we're not there yet.
All three companies have a high profile. Skidmore says that drew investigators and thinks it's why these three so often make the news, even as law enforcement has pursued plenty of other marijuana cases.
You have several entities here that didn't take any sort of efforts to hide or conceal the activities in which they were engaging. I think some of them have, to the contrary, tried to make a public point of the conduct in which they were engaging.
One of the most publicly visible businesses charged is Discreet Deliveries, which has done just under $1 million in business since the start of the year, according to co-founder Rocky Burns. He disputes the state's claims and says he's open about his business because he believes he's acting within the boundaries of the laws that are on the books. He doesn't expect the 7 felonies against him will hold up in court.
I don't believe the state has any weight behind these charges. I think it's just for the newspaper. Why didn't they arrest me? That's my thing. I don't think there's anything behind it other than, like, we better look like we're doing something.
Burns insists that he's made every effort to work with officials, including calling the district attorney's office and offering to turn himself in earlier this week. He's looking forward, in fact, to offering arguments and evidence in court showing how he didn't break the state's prohibition on sales. And Burns has a complaint that's common among burgeoning cannabis businesses. The state hasn't always been easy to work with.
No, it has not been easy at all.
Teresa Collins is co-owner of Potluck Events, a special events venue where paying members can use cannabis. The state didn't file any charges against her. Collins says there's absolutely no marijuana sold in her business. But making sure that officials with the state, city, and regulatory bodies know that has been difficult. When Collins was sent a warning to cease and desist operations earlier this year, she made sure her business was not violating any rules.
I have checked everything with our attorney before we've done anything. So I think that that has kept us on the safe side of the law.
Marijuana policy advocates have had a vexed relationship the last few months with businesses like Collins's and Burns. Leif Abel is executive director of the Coalition for Responsible Cannabis Legislation. He says while some areas are a little bit gray, the state's overall message after ballot measure 2 passed has been clear. Wait for finished regulations in a year.
They did not want businesses operating early because it would gut any regulatory authority.
Abel disagrees with the state's decision to pursue felony charges for a nonviolent offense in these instances, but he believes the businesses knew the risks. When the state's license structure is set up in the next few months, people with recent felonies will be ineligible to apply. Abel thinks all the attention around the three businesses is the state's way of drawing a clear line between whom they'll count as a good operator or a bad one when permit applications start coming in.
I think the message they're sending is the same one they've been sending all along, only they actually put teeth in it this time. So they've been telling people, don't operate early, don't operate early. Well, nobody was getting in trouble, and more people were starting to think maybe we should operate early. So I think their sole intent was to stop people from operating early.
Skidmore, with the Department of Law, says that one other reason the state felt it was important to file charges on early operators was in fairness to all those waiting patiently on the sidelines for regulations to take shape. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.